This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Matt Bowen.
Two throws. This one aired out for Galloway. And with contact, it's picked off. Intercepted by Matt Bowen.
NFL writer and analyst for ESPN.
The ball came out. Right now they're calling fumble. Matt Bowen knocked it out.
Seven-year NFL veteran.
There's always going to be corrections. But if you're looking at this from an outside perspective and studying their tape without being in their quarterback meeting room, you saw visible improvement from Justin Fields.
Defensive back coach for IC Catholic football.
One of the greatest things and most rewarding things about being a high school coach is to see the impact it can have on your student athletes.
Matt Bowen on 670 The Score.
As we broadcast live from the Score Sunday studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, we go out to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline and download that Circa app today. Matt Bowen, we have had some great football talk the last hour, and he continues it for us. We had motivated callers yesterday. I joke that you helped make us ready to be like the high school team where we run through the tunnel and then we break the we break the paper banner. We're fired up and we are ready for this. So you got to keep us going here on the Score.
I'll try. What's going on? How are you?
Well, I think I know that you did an extensive draft piece, and I want to get into that because I know you don't do anything half-arse, if you will. That's not your style. So that said, we had a lot of talk about Tremaine Edmonds talking about how the team is in win-now mode and the difference when you know you're on a team that has made a lot of acquisitions and when they haven't. So I figured I would get your take on it to see what you think about the Bears being in that versus maybe what you would say if you know your team might not be in that mode.
Well, I think everyone has to be in win-now mode in today's NFL, right? It is the ultimate business of winning. And I've been there. When we transitioned from Coach Spurrier in Washington and brought in Coach Gibbs, you know, the locker room turned over very quickly. A lot of free agent signings, looking forward to the draft. And there was excitement. There was a different feel in the facility. Now, obviously, Coach Gibbs was coming over, someone who had won three Super Bowls already. He already had the reputation as a championship coach. But I get it. I understand the energy. It feels different. There's a wait till they get on the field. You know, when they start really doing OTAs on the field, the practice tempo will increase. It'll be much different than it was in the past because the players are more excited to be there.
Sounds like you almost have to temper things down while at the same time everyone's trying to make that first impression on not only their head coach, their coordinator, but also their position coach. I wonder, looking at this Bears team, because it seems like we're in this cycle, Matt. Every offseason, the Bears are celebrating offseason titles, at least according to the fan base.
We did in Washington every year.
So you're familiar with the process.
Yeah. But until Joe Gibbs came, though, right? Because then everything changes, right, at that moment.
Well, it did. Look, the first year with Coach Gibbs, we had a top 10 defense. We struggled on offense. We did not make the playoffs. But the second year, we did. And it was really the culture that Coach Gibbs built. It was a different way of playing football, a different way of preparing to play football, how you studied every week, much more physical practices. So to your point, things are going to change. things are going to change drastically in terms of their practice structure, in terms of their meeting structure, how they lift in the weight room. Maybe it's what time they eat lunch. Everything's going to be different. But the players are much more willing to accept those changes because they see excitement. They see an opportunity to win. They see an opportunity to compete. And plus, Ben Johnson has a reputation because of what he did with the offense in Detroit.
And looking at this this document that's in front of me right now, because we had a Google Doc attached, and I went through all the stuff of what you did. I'm just curious, this process versus what you do with free agents, mm-hmm. how much more film do you have to watch? Because obviously you have maybe established context for the NFL players that you've seen right. plenty on versus these guys coming out of college who you're trying to not only look at them on college film, but also adjust what you're seeing to the NFL game.
Right. It's much different, Marshall, to answer your question, because you have to be fair. You have to understand that the tape's not going to be perfect. And understand that these are young athletes that are still developing, especially when you're watching the quarterback position. Okay. When you want to look at the competition they're playing against, right? Okay, if they're playing the SEC and the Big Ten, it's much different tape than if you're looking at a player from the MAC conference, for example, because they're not playing against consistent NFL competition every week. And even if you're in the Big Ten and the SEC, there's going to be players in that football field that are not going to make it to the pros, right? So you have to be fair with the competition and also where they are developmentally and understand that some things, for example, this one, I have people tell me all the time about a corner, mostly corner. Well, he's not a great tackler. Well, is he willing? Okay, because if you're willing, I can coach you, right? I can coach you now. If you're willing to do something, I can coach you. If you show something pretty consistently on tape, I can coach you to be more consistent at a higher rate when you're in the National Football League. So you have to look at really the traits more with the college athletes compared to the pro athletes, because the pro athletes already have the pro tape. You're looking more at scheme fit, future production, how they can play in certain fronts, whether a 40 front or a 30 front, where in college, you're really just focusing on the traits and how you can develop those traits on Sundays.
And I appreciate you doing that. So the story is on ESPN, Matt Bowen's top prospects at 100 different skills mm-hmm. and traits. So he does clarify, like, for example, most powerful rusher, best contact balance, most sudden rusher. So I like how you try to do that, where you're putting yourself in the viewpoint of what is this person really good at, and then how do they fit on an NFL team?
Right. And that allows you to have more categories. It went up to 100 this year. And to your point, Lily, it is focused on specific skills or specific traits that they have, right? I'm not going to talk about a player and say, oh, they can't do this. I don't want to hear that. And look, when you write a report, the worst thing you can put in there is but or however. You don't write that stuff. Just say what they can do. And then tell me what they can't do, but do it in a professional way that still looks at the developmental track, potential developmental track of that player once they get to pro football.
Take me through, Mr. Bowen, get me excited about defensive end, because right now I'm having a moment here. I've been all about Tyler Warren in the draft, but I'm having a moment here as far as defensive end is concerned. Can the Bears potentially move up to get Abdul Carter? And then beyond that, I want you to tell me about some of the other guys at the position in which the quarterback is sacked, because I still think the Bears need more. I'm sorry.
Amen.
I think they still need more.
No, I agree with you.
They need a lot more. Yes.
I agree with you, Mark, and I would agree with the Bears if they went offensive line at 10. If they stayed at 10 and went offensive line, I would agree with that 100%. Marshall and Layla and I talked about it all season. We'll go with the Philadelphia Eagles. I think that's the model right now in the National Football League. What do they have? Depth and talent in the offense and defensive line. That's what they're built on. That's what that football team, that's the identity of that football team right now. So you want to be like the champs, right? Well, to do that, you have to add more pass rushers, or you need to get stronger on the edges in your offensive line. Now, Mark, to answer your question, can they move up to get Abdul Carter? I don't think so.
Okay.
They don't.
He's being realistic.
Shot
He's
it
not
right
saying
down.
They
Mark,
can't.
The answer is no. Probably not going
to
happen.
He did not say can't, but, or however.
Well, this is why, Mark. I think, one, the price to move up, you're going to have to probably get to number two. Okay. And if you're Cleveland, now Cleveland is a team that has needs all over that roster. There's no question about that. But Abdul Carter, when you turn on the tape, this is someone you don't pass on.
Yeah.
You can't. I mean, he's so explosive. And look, when I did this piece and I'm going through all the traits of the pass rushers, it's hard not to put him for everyone. Okay. That's how talented he is. Now, again, I try to be fair. I try to get a lot of names in this piece, but you could make a pass rushing profile of just Abdul Carter in terms of his flexibility, his power, his speed, his quickness off the football, his counter moves. He is absolutely disruptive. And I don't think a team like Cleveland or New York at number three is willing to give that up. A player the Bears could have. And this is a name that's been all over mock drafts. But Mykel Williams from Georgia.
Ding, 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 ding.
Right. Now, he fits the defensive profile of Dennis Allen. When you look at what he had in New Orleans in terms of the frame, the size, and the power of his defensive ends, Mykel Williams has those physical tools. He can rush with speed to power. And again, are there counter moves there? Are there enough there yet? No. But again, I could teach that. I cannot teach the physical profile, right? I cannot do that. I cannot, but I can teach hand usage. I can teach how to set up an offensive tackle from a defensive line coach. But the power and the speed off the ball, that's what you're looking for. And that's a player that does fit the profile of what they want at the defensive end position.
Just to give an example, as we're joined by Matt Bowen, former NFLer and now NFL writer and analyst for ESPN. We're talking about his 2025 top prospects and all the different traits for Mykel Williams that he just described. Here's the synopsis. An easy fit for the loaded defensive fronts we see in the NFL. Williams can use his long 6'5 frame to convert speed to power from edge alignments. He's a physical defender with the tools to develop into a disruptive force. One of my favorite things about the way this is laid out is because you're talking about all these different traits across a position. And we know that the Bears need a running back, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking through how you're listing the running backs and kind of what you're saying these guys are best at going up and down the list of characteristics and traits. I'm curious as to what you think of those traits is the most important for the Bears to get based on who they already have in their running back room and what you think Ben Johnson wants to do with that running back position.
I think the pass catching ability has to be there. Now, you don't need to be Christian McCaffrey out of the backfield, but to be able to produce on swings and screens and underneath throws, be an outlet for quarterback Caleb Williams. I think that's a complementary piece you have to have in today's NFL. And most of these running backs do have that. The other thing is downhill decisive power. I think that's what you're looking for right now. If you're pairing a running back with DeAndre Swift, you want someone who has the north-south juice, the north-south power to move the pile, to move the sticks, and also some explosive ability when they get through the second level. Now, a name there, and look, you guys know where I went to college, but Caleb Johnson from Iowa obviously fits that profile very well. Judkins from Ohio State fits that profile very well. Now, someone like Travion Henderson, I think, is going to move up in this draft class because of what he can do in pass protection and catching the football out of the backfield. That, to me, I'm not saying the Bears won't do something like that, but that, to me, isn't a great compliment to Swift, right? You want what Ben Johnson had in Detroit. You had Jahmyr Gibbs, you had David Montgomery. Different skill sets, but both fit into the offensive structure.
Matt Bowen, this is such a great compilation, especially because you give us the viewpoint of what NFL coaches see. You know, so many times we talk about how the Bears love relative athletic score, which you're familiar with well, or we talk about traits, and you're talking about how to use them. So I want to know, out of this list of all the traits that you mentioned, and these are pretty good compliments when you consider guys' skill sets, what is your favorite trait or compliment that you gave one of these players on this list?
There's two. Okay, the first one, and they're both in the secondary, but I have Lathan Ransom, safety from Ohio State. I have him listed as the best tone setter. Okay, now what does that mean? That means someone who's an enforcer, an intimidating player, when you turn on the film. And that's what you want. You want to set the identity of your defensive backfield. And you need that tone setter. You need that tone setter. Someone who will drop the hammer on contact, will basically roam the middle of the field and close the middle of the field in the short to intermediate areas, because wide receivers don't want to go in there anymore, right? I think it's important to have in your secondary as an intimidator or an enforcer, because it allows you to set a certain identity you want to put on tape and you want everyone across the league to see. The next one is Billy Bowman Jr., a safety from Oklahoma. He used the term more urgency in coverage. That's something I always look for, even at the high school level where I coach. How urgent are you? What that means is your play speed. How quick are you to the football? You know, how disruptive are you because of your play speed? That stands out to me on tape. When you turn on the tape of Bowman, there's something different about him. Similar to like a Buda Baker, if you ever watched the Arizona Cardinals play, and how fast he is to the football. What that does, it allows you, it puts you in a position to make plays, for one, but it also increases the team speed around you. Now you can have someone who can cut off the ball on the perimeter, someone who can close quickly on throws in the middle of the field. And to me, those are important traits to have.
So based on what you just said, because we know that because of the Jaquan Brisker situation and Kevin Byard not knowing how long he'll be with the Bears, he's in a contract year coming up. Who do you like for the Bears to maybe supplement, and where do you think they'll fall in this draft in terms of the guys you just named or a guy you think the Bears should be interested in at safety?
Well, one name I'll mention, I don't know if the Bears will have an opportunity to draft him or if they will, but just, you know, a player that I really liked when studying him on tape was Xavier Watts, the safety from Notre Dame, because he has difference in making ability because he can make plays in the football. He had 13 interceptions over the last two seasons. That's a big number in college football. He's got post range. He's got split field range. And you have to have that in today's NFL. It's a passing league. You have to have someone that can take the ball away and can really close the post for you in the middle of the field. And something else I was thinking about, that I was talking about Billy Bowman Jr., and someone asked me for a comp for him. And not so much in pass coverage. I think Billy Bowman is someone that can also play in the slot. But in terms of disruptive ability, he reminds me of Mike Brown, the former Chicago Bears safety. You know, someone who's disruptive and takes the ball away, right? And you want that in the secondary.
Mike Brown, won really just a great safety with the Bears, part of one of my favorite seasons in 2001 with the back-to-back walk-offs. Just going down the list here, Bowen, Joe Tooney, Drew Dolman, Jonah Jackson, Dio Odangbo, Grady Jarrett, Devin Duvernay, Olamide Zaccheaus. All right, man, this is the moment. The Bears at number 10. With all of that in mind, I don't know if I necessarily need a player from you, but like, what position do you go, Matt Bowen, at number 10? And if you got a player, lay it on me.
I'll have a player for now. It'll probably change three times before we get to the draft. But for today, it's Kelvin Banks Jr., the left tackle from Texas.
That's what I have right now. Okay. Yes.
I think the athletic profile, I don't know if that Marshall, I don't know if he falls. I think that's the range you should go in. I really do. I think Will Campbell's going to – first of all, I think Will Campbell's going to go higher than people expect. And, look, some teams might grade him as a guard. Okay, I understand that. But just in terms of what he is as a football player, I think he goes higher than number 10. I think Banks is someone that can play at the left tackle position. He's got the athletic profile. He's got great footwork. Did not give up a lot of pressures and sacks in college. Played against really good competition. That's someone you really want to develop who has the traits and tools you want at the left tackle position. And what that tells the Bears is it tells that current roster that's getting ready in the offseason program right now that we're going to challenge you. We are bringing in players to challenge you and to compete to take your jobs. And that's what you want. You want the ultimate competitive environment. And those veteran players have to understand that. That's part of this. And we didn't mention that at the top, but when you go through a coaching change, hey, everyone's on alert right now. Because when you go through a coaching change, you weren't good enough last year. You simply weren't good enough. And that's part of playing pro football. I went through it. And they're going to draft players at your same position.
It's scary, isn't it? Scary as hell.
And it's not necessarily they're trying to run you out of town, but they are trying to increase that competitive profile in everyone. And that's why I was talking about the play speed during practice, why it's going to increase, because people are going to be fighting for jobs for real this year.
I also think that there was a good point made in the draft analysis discussion, which is sometimes teams don't want to see more from guys they consider slam dunks. You know, that they want to visit certain people's pro days where they may still have questions. They want to bring somebody in. Can you speak to that part of it where maybe somebody's getting a visit because they do have a little bit more they want to see?
Well, sure. I mean, that's part of the your top 30 visits is to bring them in. Also, to you know, that's also to put that out in the media on purpose to try to move up or move down in draft positioning. I understand that. But sure, you don't get enough time at the combine. First of all, you don't get enough time to interview and sit down with these players. You don't get enough time at pro days because there's a lot going on. And I think those top 30 visits really give you an opportunity to understand the person, understand the football character, understand their competitive drive and why they play this game. And most importantly, understand if they love football or not. Because to be good in this league and to stay in this league, you have to love the game. You have to love the grind about it. You have to love the tough days. You have to love the times when you're hurt and you still have to play through an injury to get in the field on Sunday. You have to love every aspect of this game to be a great pro. And that's a big part of the interview process.
Well, as usual, you've got us fired up still, Matt. Thank you for the motivational speech. I just need something to run through. That's my only issue here. All I have is a doorway.
That works.
Yeah.
We'll find something. I'll tackle maybe a trash can. I'll figure it out.
Thanks so much, Matt.
Matt, thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
And don't forget to read his article because he does such good analysis. Matt Bowen's top 2025 top prospects at 100 skill different traits. Love it. So thank you so much.
Kelvin Banks Jr. is the guy. That's what I have on my list today, too. Number 10, I got Kelvin Banks Jr. of Texas going to the Chicago Bears.
As for the why, David Haw, because we told you so.
It's so good. We've got to keep that. That and Craig Counsell. Speaking of why.
Here we go.
Why?
Yeah, that's tentative.
Why did somebody needs to show Craig Counsell what we're about to talk about?
It's a day at the park.
I'm not sure how we do that.
It was a very eventful day at the park for two people sitting in the front row of a not exactly packed Cubs and Rangers game. And they shared something that looked unstable. So we'll talk about it next on The Score.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Train to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Train to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so these two have never met before, and now they're getting texts because look what they were up to. They knew they were on TV, and come over here.
Yeah, they're kind of going Lady and the Tramp on
that
hot dog.
Yeah, that's right. And then they find out that everybody's seen them on TV, and we're so funny, we're so clever. Hey, we're blowing up. Are they done with the hot dogs yet? You're stars. We love you.
The Score Midday Show, 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
All right, this took the internet and essentially just people's brains by storm yesterday. It's going to happen where you're going to have a cold weather game here. It's in the middle of the day during the week. not everybody's going to go to the game because there might be rain, and you're really focused on the few people who are in the crowd, especially when you're watching the pitcher and the batter matchup. Man and a woman are sitting next to each other at a Cubs game, and at one point they start to simultaneously eat a hot dog.
From opposite ends.
Why were you being so careful with your words there?
No, it wasn't that I was being careful. Okay. I had to pause with disgust. Because when I was married or dating somebody, I didn't even like to hold their hand in public. I'm not a big PDA person.
Oh, that's so fun.
Oh,
so,
what's up with that? Anti-physical touch?
Jesus, Layla.
No, I mean, it's fine for others. Just for me, it's not my thing.
Okay.
Oh, weird.
So perhaps cultural, given my background.
Fair.
But point, out of respect to others, because maybe they're grossed out. And not that I'm like reviled if somebody does it in front of me. That's not what I'm saying. But this was extreme. But what's even more extreme is we find out that there was no apparent relationship between these two people prior to the game. Because, of course, Shane Reardon, the producer of the afternoon show, first order of business, finds these two people who have taken the internet by storm in a matter of mere hours and gets them on the score. So let's examine what happened earlier yesterday.
Tristan and Robbie. So you guys don't know each other at all?
No.
No. I'd had three hot dogs. She told me she had four, and I was like, you know what? I can't eat another one. I could probably split one, though.
That's awesome, you guys bonding over dogs at the game.
Do you actually know each other? Was that a bit from Boog? Like, are you a couple? We all kind of basically assumed that you guys were in love, and this is just something you do from time to time.
I hadn't saved the world today. You can't see two strangers sharing a dog like Lady and the Tramp and assume that they're just not really good friends.
Yeah, I actually didn't know that this was going to go viral, so my boyfriend at home is going to be pretty upset about it.
Yeah.
I can imagine that would be the case, Tristan.
Yeah. Your faces were awfully close together. We didn't see it complete. Did you guys meet in the middle of the dog?
No, we kind of both gave up and then switched to popcorn.
Did you do it with the popcorn, too? Did we miss that? Good stuff, guys.
You did miss us throwing the popcorn to each other.
Oh, so you did the whole thing where you're trying to catch the popcorn in your mouth type deal?
Yeah. Have you ever been to Kobe?
Okay.
All right. So wait a minute. You guys are coworkers? Is that the situation here?
I'm not sure. I just met her today.
We found out we're both lawyers. So in a way, we're coworkers.
Counselor?
Okay. And you've bonded and flirted over the hot dog, and there are significant others who are not going to be pleased at this moment.
So we both abhor food waste, and I was like, you know, I've already had three hot dogs. She's already had four. Like, it'd be a shame to waste the fifth one. So we're like, you know, we might as well just split it.
Robbie's got a date later this week. I've got a longstanding boyfriend. It was just friendly, just a friendly hot dog split.
In a friendly confines.
So, counselor, what is your strategy in how you're going to explain this to the boyfriend?
That's a good question.
Well, the boyfriend was upset when I got last-minute tickets to the game. So he's already on the mend from this.
Let me tell you something. There are so many things here to discuss.
Let me tell you something. First of all, 1955, I wasn't alive yet. Were you alive?
No.
Were you alive?
No.
That's when Lady and the Tramp came out. But it is everybody, when you mention that movie, there's one moment that sticks out from Lady and the Tramp. That's the sharing of the spaghetti and the noodle comes to an end. And they're lucky we didn't see the end. I don't know if they're lucky or not, because she might already not have a boyfriend. She might be single right now.
Maybe the marquee crew averted our eyes appropriately from what happened after. You're in the front row. This is not like you're hanging out in some intrepid cameraman, because they know. Let me tell you right now, if you're at a ball game, no matter how many cameras there are, I'm here to tell you right now, every cameraman knows you and you're in the crowd.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Don't think you can do anything sneaky.
Right.
This is my advice to you, working games for years. The truck knows all. The truck is the production truck that runs the game broadcast. That is not me sucking up to the truck. That is absolutely just the truth.
Tristan and Robbie, right? Those were the names.
Tristan and Robbie.
Okay,
yeah.
So let me tell you something. First of all, Robbie, that man got game.
Wow.
That man got
game.
When he called her counselor, I was like, oh, yeah, he already knows.
He treated her with respect. He offered her resources. He told her his principles, how he hates to waste food.
Do you think he was touching her at that moment?
in his heart.
I mean,
heart.
They were on like speakerphone together, right?
Yeah.
She didn't even care. Like, she's like, oh, my boyfriend was already mad that I got tickets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's watch be, this.
And he's got a date. So this guy's lining everything up.
Alcohol was probably involved in the friendliness and looseness of this.
What if it wasn't?
We should have them on now. Let's see how the interview goes now. Right after
the
they sobered
day?
Up.
I do want the follow-up of whether or not she still has a boyfriend. I know this. That man has game, and he put it on her, and she, the charm, he gave her the Riz 101, and she was all about that life. And so I feel bad for her boyfriend in the worst way. But sometimes, you got to understand, she ain't your girl, it's just your turn. Sometimes, you got to understand, that's real. That's real.
I just heard Ray holler with my headphones
go
on.
Go get him, baby.
Through the soundproof window.
That is like one of the realest statements ever. That is so true.
Not every time, but sometimes that's just how it is. Because, you know, everybody breaks up. It's just a matter of can you be the last one standing? That's what it is.
Yeah, that's tentative.
I also enjoyed how the interview almost came to a halt because it was like, okay, where else are we going with this? And then Shane jumps in. So it was like this pause of, okay, you're doing this. Where are we going with? That's why I think we should talk to him today.
Imagine this.
What if their eyes had met contact during that awkward pause? What happens then?
All I know is
and
this.
And like, do you see how she's like, oh, so we're colleagues? I'm like, ah!
Let's get down to it.
Screaming eternally.
Do you think somebody ended up at somebody's place last night?
No, I don't.
I think she
whoa,
had.
Hold on, that's out
he's
of line.
He's got a date. She's got a boy. Boyfriend.
Oh, yeah, Layla. Hold on.
Get out.
Him having a date has nothing
exactly.
to do with this. I want to point that out.
Spoken like a man who has a date.
No, I'm saying he has a date, not a girlfriend. That's tomorrow's problem. I'm talking about seizing the moment today. See something what, Mark?
See something, say something.
Okay.
I think Jalen Johnson would be proud of us.
Yeah, so
you would love the way we're using the phrase to apply to many things.
And it does apply to many things. I think overall, though, the point here is, I'll go back to club rule number one, which can apply beyond the club, which is never leave your dime unattended. And in this case, she left to go to a game her man couldn't get to because it was last minute tickets. And now he paid the consequences. But again, the level of disrespect for her to be participating in this type of behavior.
Yeah.
At on the front television. Row of a co-
that should be over today, right?
Yeah,
should it be over?
Come on, man.
That should be over,
come
right?
On, man.
Would you, Marshall? Would you dump her ass?
I wouldn't even, it wouldn't be a dumper thing. It just, I'm in the bushes like Homer Simpson.
Oh, yeah.
I ain't nothing
like
to do with you.
Oh, okay.
But of course, I'd like to think I have better taste in that than to be involved with someone who would act without scruples.
Who's got the date with Robbie? Who's got this date?
That's who we need to get
on
the phone.
Yeah, that's who we need to talk to. That's what needs to, like, fill the puzzle pieces here.
Robbie's a real one, though. I don't think Robbie did anything wrong.
Now, let's diagram again for the people. Offered her resources, treated her with the respect of the title that she had earned, and then told her about his principles, which he hates wasted food. Also, how many hot dogs did they have together? And then they got popcorn.
You guys noticed this
is a flex. This is a flex of food purchasing.
Robbie had like a tiny little bit of his hot dog left, and the TV zoomed in on him, and he like faked. Took like he didn't want the hot dog to end because then he knew the bit would be over.
See,
and I'll say this too. Old Boog kind of like he recovered. I don't think Boog appreciated what was going on.
Okay.
I don't think he appreciated it.
Robert it offended his baseball
sensibilities. I think it did. I think it offended his TV and baseball sensibilities.
But his baritone just covered it up in a suave
way.
Oh,
yeah. But then he was like, oh, yeah, I got to be on with this. I got to be on board with this. Oh, it's great. Love the fans. But I think he was a little bit put off by it.
Okay. I got thoughts from the text line, guys.
Yes.
First of all, Robert in Naperville. Call it Gliz Riz.
Hey, Robert in Naperville, you always come up with puns.
Also, 630, they are both lying through their effing teeth. They were there on a date and got caught.
Okay.
But no, but they were on the front row. How
two
are you
lawyers
not
in the front row of the game where nobody's in the crowd.
They know better.
They know better. I'm sorry.
I don't know, man. Overconfidence, like... It'll get to you. We've seen it happen, like two people on the kiss cam, and then somebody slowly starts to hide. If you just waved like normal, nothing would have happened to you. Nobody would know.
773. I'd be upset too. Front row at the Cubs, canoodling with some dork over a hot dog. It would be up.
Dork, not dork. 708. Robbie was making that date up.
630. They did that interview from a bed somewhere. And I think that's where a lot of people are assuming, based on the tone of the conversation Robbie and Tristan had with Mr. Spiegel and Mr. Holmes. I'm only saying that because that's how a counselor would address
them. I think if they were truly guilty, they wouldn't call into the score, to be fair.
That's great. That's to a be great fair. Point. But, also, but how drunk were they? Like, that's another
we don't
thing.
Know that they were at all.
Well,
one thing we didn't hear in that clip, but that they talked about in the interview was, this is their 15 minutes of fame, and I hope that Vienna Beef or whoever, because they were shouting them out, I hope they get some kind of money, monetary compensation. She might need it if she was depending on her boyfriend for any other resources, although she's a lawyer, so I think she's probably good.
She's a lawyer who got front row tickets to the game, dude, and she was able to like be there during a work day. I admire all of it. I just want to say this. I know we have a lot of detectives out there in the streets. Somebody find the girl who is going on the date with Robbie. Whoever that is, we need to talk to them. Not to snitch, just to find out how this date's going to go. Because how does that come up? Like, if you're the person sitting across from him at a date, and you're like, so how was your week? What'd you do? And he's just like, oh, I went to this Cubs game. Silence. Tumbleweed rolls by. You know, like a cricket chirps somewhere. You're like, oh, that's interesting.
I was still more interested in Jack White being there in the front row. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. Has anybody asked Jack White about this? Was he like, I had to leave the Cubs game and two people were sharing a hot dog weirdly next to me?
Get me eat a hot dog.
Someone said on the text line, Jack White confirmed not a fair weather fan because the weather was not ideal for a ball game yesterday.
Yeah, Jack White is ride or die. If you're, literally not a fair weather fan.
I just, man, I'm... Robbie, you have my admiration. Tristan, I'm sorry. You probably messed it up for yourself.
Sorry about everything.
Did she?
I mean...
Or did she just find Robbie?
That's true. I know many a relationship that has ended because of another person, and then those two people go on to have a happily ever after.
Hold on, Marshall. I'm thinking about this now. Did say, I have a long-standing boyfriend, long-term boyfriend, right?
Yeah, maybe she was looking for an excuse to get out of said relationship is what I'm saying. Oh, wow.
She didn't seem to think it was an issue that he was... she was easily sharing the fact that he wasn't happy that she got the Cubs tickets.
I think what we have to realize is the best time to get out of a relationship that you know needs to end is whenever you realized it. The second best time is now. And she got to her now, I believe, through her actions.
So you're advocating just complete and total breakup.
Layla, you think they should work that out?
Why?
I'm the wrong person to ask about this, as I do not date at all. Okay, so from baseball curiosity / questionability to baseball abject sadness, the White Sox found a new way to lose a game. And I thought that they had come up with most of the ways. It's one of our local guys, too. We talk about it next on The Score.
The Score Midday Show, 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
All right, before we get to the sad stuff, we got to get to some important stuff. How about free stuff? Caller 6 and 7 to The Score contest line, 312-540-0670. Again, that number is 312-540-0670 will win a pair of tickets to a special Take the North live broadcast with the man in our studio, Mark Grody, and a man not in our studio, Dan Wiederer, on Thursday. That's next Thursday, April 17th, from 6 to 7 p.m. on the Blue Cross Blue Shield performance stage. So call.
We cannot wait for that. And I will also tell you right now, you should listen. There's a brand new episode of Take the North up, and there is audio from Ryan Poles that you have not heard yet, and it's really good stuff. It's interesting stuff, and I think that you guys should listen to it, and I think that you will enjoy it. Let me just give you a little tease. Why? I'll give you a little tease here. One of the most interesting things about it is, you know, we always make a big deal about body language.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to the podcast. Ryan Poles has some things to say. So that's it. That's all I can say, because it's podcast exclusive. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, we will honor your podcast exclusivity.
Right, that's not my rule. I'm just saying that is, but that is.
It's not embargoed, though, because it's already out.
It's kind of embargoed in a little bit. It is exclusive to, we were allowed to use this on Take the North. That's all I'm saying. Okay. I don't know why I'm making this so complicated, but I did.
Meanwhile, if you don't like your audio recorded at all times, you might want to go check out Spiegel and Holmes. They'll be doing their show live from 2 to 6 p.m. tomorrow at Lynx Golf and Sports Bar in Lindenhurst. Oh, stop by and say hello to the guys, watch some golf, and listen to the show. There's also a hole-in-one contest giving you one swing for a chance to win $5,000. That's tomorrow, 2 to 6 p.m., Lynx Golf and Sports Bar in Lindenhurst, and it's all brought to you by Circa Sports Illinois, sports betting the way it should be.
I already have $5,000.
Excuse what? Me, thousand.
It's a Michael Scott line from the office. Oh, okay. Like, why do I need $500? I already have $500.
My next question was going to be, can I hold some?
Yeah, exactly.
Why?
All right, so now we have to do this. Mike Tauchman. I always appreciated him on the Cubs. He does what he can. I was excited when he came back after
pound
the
time pounder, right?
Indeed, after the hamstring injury.
Great approach, oppo hitter.
Yeah, he
counts.
Was ready to go. He's hustled his way through the making it and stay in the big leagues. He knows a thing or two about just earning his keep, and he was trying to score to help the White Sox beat the Guardians yesterday. But this game ended in the worst of ways.
It all comes down to Miguel Vargas. Swings at the first one. It gets through to left field. One comes in, and we might have an injury. Oh, no. Tauchman comes up and can't score. He just came off of a hamstring tweak off the IL a couple days ago, and he was unable to get home as he rounded the bag at third, started limping.
John Schriffen, I hate that you had to call that on CHSN.
Oh, no.
It's a good call, actually.
It is. Yeah, he did a good call. Job with it. Tom sad Hamilton, no stranger to White Sox and Guardians drama. Here's the call for Cleveland.
Class A lets it fly. And Vargas swings, grounds one wide of third in the hole, base hit to left. In to score, Amaya. Tauchman coming home. Quant's throw to the plate. In plenty of time and pulling up lame is Tauchman. He is tagged out 10 feet from home plate as he's down on his knees with a leg injury. And Cleveland catches a break on what should have been a game-tying two-run single. And with Tauchman rounding third, he pulled up lame and had to pull up 10 feet from home and was tagged out by Hedges on an accurate throw from left from Stephen Kwan. And the Guardians escape in the most unusual fashion, winning it 3-2.
Swaggy No Legs, the MVP for the Cleveland Guardians. But wait, there's more.
Oh, my goodness.
Our friends at Sox Machine were watching this live.
I'll tell you about Sox Machine.
But no one will ever talk about it. I want a little sadness.
Ground ball in.
Come on, Vargas.
Yes!
Hey!
Signed him.
Two? Yeah, two?
Played by Kwan. He pulled up. He's going to be out.
He got hurt.
And the game is over. The Guardians will win by one. I don't know what in the world.
He got hurt, right? I mean,
yeah,
like,
he got hurt.
Mike Tauchman couldn't get there.
No word.
Walking off? What the?
They were way too reasonable, actually.
They've been watching White Sox games for quite a while.
Yeah. So Mike Tauchman had a previous hamstring injury, as John Schriffen alluded to. And unfortunately, that's what kept him out for a little bit earlier. I guess he came back too soon, but unfortunately, there's no way to know sometimes until you're in that very situation. And I'll be darned. A hamstring takes down the White Sox again.
It's like Aloy Jimenez left the team but left his legs.
I just need to know. Which one of you made the deal with the supernatural? Not you two necessarily.
Yeah. I'm rooting for them to come back.
Why?
The collective.
I saw Tauchman in slow motion when that happened. It was like,
no.
We were at the game. We didn't see it live.
We're just having fun at the Bulls game, you know, watching a variety of different shots and whatever else, and people throwing T-shirts and just enjoying our lives.
And taking I'm like, pictures what are you doing, Tauchman?
Yeah, taking pictures on the court, you know, just checking out what's going to happen with this play-in seating at the game of the year.
And then
Studs sends us. He sent us.
I knew it was bad. I just didn't know how bad it was. And I watch it, and then Layla watches it, and I was like, Layla's like, wait, I'm missing something here. I was like, no. It was supposed to be a two-run single, and so I play it back for her, and now she's just watching Tauchman, and he goes out of frame temporarily. When he comes back in frame, she's like,
oh no.
Yeah.
Right, because at first when you watch it, like it's like, oh, wait, did you just gave up? What are you doing, Talkman? That's not Talkman.
Oh, no.
Hello.
It's like Will Ferrell going into the pool on Old School. Hello, darkness, my old friend. You've got a dart in your neck.
You killed a guy. I don't want to lay low.
No trident.
Brick, you might want to lay low for a while.
I want to lay low for a while.
How do you describe it?
Mike, the text, Talkman, stand up.
He can't.
That's not cool. That's
get
not
up.
Cool.
Down goes Anderson. Down goes Anderson.
Let me tell you about Tom Hamilton. That's a good guy right there.
I love weird texts like this because they either think they're being mean or funny, and it's not either.
What you got?
773. I can't believe I missed Dan. Shout out to Layla. What is the point of that?
I prefer to look at the haw. Why is going to live forever? It's fantastic.
Bear. I just read the texts, and sometimes I respond. Most times I don't.
Yeah.
But I enjoy them. I enjoy them.
Or like the ones that told us we need to let our guard down.
Well, he told us to let our hair down, too. I said, that's tough for me.
I'm not sharing a hot dog with somebody I don't know or somebody I do know at the same time as they're eating the hot dog.
Moment. Oh, no moments are the best things in the world. Like somebody talking about the Brant Brown drop back in the day. Oh, no!
Oh, no!
Wait, was that Chuck?
That was Chuck.
It was
No!
Oh, what was the...
Chuck watched the Sox game at the same time he announced the Bulls game yesterday, apparently.
He was hyped last night. I was listening to some of the stuff he was saying
he's the best.
Later on.
He was the best.
Joe Bag of Donuts. Have you guys ever heard Joe Bag of Donuts? You know, one of these days, when I come on, maybe next week, we're going to have Joe Bag of Donuts on the show.
Okay.
Chuck has an alter ego.
I have heard about this.
Yeah.
I need to know more about it.
Oh, yeah. No. Let's get Chuck on next week. We'll have a day with Chuck. We'll go hardcore Bulls for about 15 minutes, and then we will request that Joe Bag of Donuts comes out. And look out for big-time opinions on teams.
Okay.
Why?
Yeah.
I'm with it.
Also, like,
let me tell you about the Cubs. No, I'm not going to ruin it.
Mean people, I don't care. We're still having fun without you. We don't care.
Layla, stop worrying about the texters.
Well, I mean, we do interact with them.
I know.
And this person says Marshall is beautiful. That's nice.
He is beautiful.
You ain't got to lie.
Guys on TV, you got to be beautiful to be on TV. I mean, come on.
It's Craig, true.
The both of you.
We're going to talk to the beautiful Matt Spiegel and Lawrence Holmes next on The Score.